are we on to now? Electromagnetism. I'll be back after this to do some electromagnetism. Right, bored of that. Okay, let's have a look at the various effects involved with electricity and magnetism. Okay, quick bit of background. You ought to remember magnetic field lines. You can illustrate magnetic field lines by dropping iron filings around a magnet, and you see the field lines. I've described electric field lines as sort of taut elastic bands. They want to be taking the quickest route from north to south that they possibly can, from the North Pole to the South Pole. But they're hindered in doing that in that they also repel each other. So the first one will go on the quickest route from north to south. The next one has to take a slightly broader route because it's got to avoid the first one. And the next one's got to take a slightly broader route still because it's got to avoid the first one. And if you think about them that way, then all of the patterns of field lines tend to explain themselves. Apart from the fact that there are field lines around a wire carrying electricity. If it's not carrying electricity, there's no field lines. As soon as you put electricity through, a large current through, you get field lines. And those field lines travel in a circle around the wire, centred on the wire. So another set of field lines, this time circular. And what we find is that the interaction between the field lines created by an electrical current and the field lines created by a permanent magnet allow us to create motion from electricity, which is an electric motor, or they allow us to create electricity from motion, which is an electrical generator. So we have the motor effect and we have the generator effect. And it's just the interaction of field lines between the permanent magnets and the magnetism created by the current flying in the wires. Okay, motor effect is the one we're going to start with. I demonstrated the motor effect by getting wires to jump out of magnetic fields, if you remember. You all had a play at that, and certainly you made some sparks. How many wires you made jump, I'm not entirely sure. If you put a loop of wire between a pair of magnets, because the current's going up one side and coming down the other side, the force that's been applied to that wire is in opposite directions, tending to twist the loop. Okay, it's called a couple. A pair of forces on either side of a pivot tending to turn it. So you get a couple. Okay, because the current's going in one direction up one side of the loop and back in the opposite direction down the other side of the loop. And we use that to produce an electric motor, DC motors. Trouble is that if you don't swap the direction of the current when the loop turns over, you get forces back in the opposite direction tending to turn it back again. So every time the loop turns over, the current needs to change direction. You do that using what's called a commutator in a DC motor. It's a commutator. And that's a couple of slip rings, couple of brushes touching those slip rings. But the slip rings are broken, so they don't go all the way around. So that as the loop turns over, the brushes are in contact with the opposite side of the ring. And the current changes direction. Diagram of that, page 255 in your textbooks. I'm not going to bother reproducing that diagram. 255 in your textbooks. So every time the loop turns over, the current changes direction, and the forces stay in the same direction. That's quite a hard one to get your head around. The current needs to change direction because the loop has turned upside down. And where the loop's turned upside down, if the current didn't reverse, the current would be the wrong way around, because it's turned upside down. I don't know whether that's helping or making things worse. Just believe it. So the commutator reverses the direction of the current every time the loop turns over in order to keep the forces acting on that loop in the same direction to keep it rotating. DC motor. How can you increase the force on a DC motor? You can have more loops of wire. You can have a coil of wire. Every extra loop you put in there, you double the force. Or you can have stronger magnets, or you can have more current flowing. So any of those three things will increase the force being generated by your electric motor. And of course, the better you can make your commutator, the better force. We made rubbish commutators when we did it ourselves, so we hardly got any force out of our electric motors. Decent commutators will produce quite a lot of force out of your DC motor. Okay, motor effect. I'll write you a description of that in class. And it's just one of those things that's worth memorising, because they'll quite often ask for a multiple point question that's a good description of how an electric motor works. So I'll write that out for you in class, get it learnt, hopefully it'll turn up in the exam. Okay, the generator effect is just the opposite, really. If you move a wire inside a magnetic field, then that wire cuts the field lines. You can think about it slicing through those elastic bands. And as it slices through those elastic bands, it actually creates an energy, creates a force within the wire. And so you get a potential difference across the two ends of the wire just because you're moving it through a magnetic field. You're slicing those field lines. You slice those field lines, you get a potential difference across the ends of the wire. So it's almost the opposite of the motor effect. Motor effect, the current through the wire was causing a force that was moving. They are pretending to move the whole lot inside. This time we're deliberately moving it inside, and we get a potential difference out as a result. The way the examiners look for it to be described is very specific. They are looking for the moving wire cutting the field lines. As the field lines are cut, that induces a potential difference across the ends of the wire. And it actually doesn't matter whether it's the wire moving or whether it's the magnets moving. Either way, field lines are being cut by the wire. And how do you improve that? Well, of course, you have a coil. You have more wires cutting the field line, so you get a bigger PD. You have stronger magnets, because if stronger magnets, one way of thinking about a stronger magnet is there's more field lines. So you're cutting more field lines, so you're increasing the PD. Okay, so you're required to think about it in those terms and answer questions about it in those terms. The field lines being cut, inducing a potential difference across the ends of the wire. AC generators. Some of you, when we talked about this in class, were bright enough to work this one out. AC generators, if you rotate a coil within a pair of magnets, you have something driving it, whatever it is, a steam turbine, usually if it's a power station we're talking about. Steam turbine rotates coil within a magnetic field, and that produces a potential difference. Now, every time the coil turns over, the potential difference changes direction. In DC, when we were talking about electric motors, we wanted to avoid that happening, so we had a commutator to keep switching it around. This time, if instead of having a commutator, we just have a pair of slip rings, and those slip rings are complete, they're not split, so that the brushes stay in contact with the same ring the entire time, then what you get coming out the other end is a potential difference that's continually changing. It peaks, it goes down to zero, changes direction, peaks, go back to zero, change, and of course that's AC. So all you have to do is set your gas steam turbine up so that it rotates the coil at the right speed, and you get AC out the other end. You stick AC, and then that goes off down through your transformers, etc., into the national grid, and you've made electricity. So what are the slip rings for there? The only point of the slip rings at this point is to be able to get the electricity out. If you had hard wires in there, the wire would wrap around the spindle, wouldn't it? So this time the slip rings are in there for no more reason than to ensure that the wire doesn't get wound round and you can actually get the electricity out. And I've seen an exam question that actually asks what those slip rings are for. A diagram for that is page 257 in your textbooks. Okay, so that's the generator effect. Only thing you need to remember there is talk about field lines being cut and a PD being induced. But again, I will write that out for you in class, and I'll get you to write that out in class so that you've got a version of that that you can memorize, because they ask questions about that in the exam. Does it seem to you that I'm rushing this bit? I do hope it doesn't, but I have now been at this for 2.25 hours, and I'm starting to get a bit of a headache and be a bit fed up of being here. Maybe I ought to knock it onto its head and come back, but I'm going to do the Transformers first. Okay, the transformer effect. So let's ask you a question. If I put an AC power supply and I hook it up to a coil of wire, what do you expect for the field lines? Yeah, you get field lines that are continually changing direction. The current's changing direction, so the field lines are changing direction. So we get a set of moving field lines, a set of field lines changing direction. Now, what do you reckon if I put another coil of wire inside those moving field lines? Well, I've got moving field lines. Those moving field lines are cutting my coil, aren't they? Cutting my second coil. So I've got movement, and I've got a coil cutting field lines. And hopefully you remember from the generator effect that if you've got movement and you've got field lines being cut, you get a PD being induced. Yes. So if I put AC into one coil, and I put another coil next to it, I get a PD, I get an AC PD out of the second coil, just because of the magnetic connection between the two, because of the field lines cutting one to the other. Neat, eh? And that's what essentially all a transformer is. Usually we use a bit of iron. We use an iron core, and the reason we use a bit of iron is that field lines tend to be concentrated within the iron. It's easier for field lines to travel through iron than it is for field lines to travel through air. They can get closer together within iron than they can in air. They don't repel each other as badly. So the iron will concentrate the field lines, and you'll get a better connection. You'll get more field lines travelling to the second coil if you've got an iron core running between them. So the iron core increases the magnetic connection between both sides. So what have you got? You've got a AC input creating varying field lines. Those varying field lines are being cut by a second coil, and that's inducing a varying PD on that second coil. AC in, AC out. Transformer. Well, you might think that has no use, but where it does have a use is if you design your transformer well, then the potential difference that you put in divided by the potential difference that you get out is equal to the number of turns on the input coil divided by the number of turns on the output coil. Now, in transformers, we call those input and output coils primaries and secondaries. So the PD across the primary divided by the PD across the secondary is equal to the number of turns on the primary divided by the number of turns on the secondary. So I can increase or decrease my potential difference in my AC supply system by changing the ratio of the coils. If I've got more coils on the primary than I've got on the secondary, I get a smaller PD out of the secondary. If I've got more coils on the secondary, fewer on the primary, I get a bigger voltage out of my secondary. I've got a step up transformer. Or the earlier version was a step down transformer. And hopefully you remember from long ago, part one, that step up and step down transformers are used to increase the efficiency of the national grid. If you don't remember that, have a quick look back through it. Uses for you, well, you need to know, be able to talk about step up and step down on the national grid, but it's not really, that's not really what you're going to get questioned about. What you're going to get questioned about is this this calculation, using that equation that I gave you. Turns on the primary divided by turns on the secondary is equal to PD, or voltage on the primary divided by voltage on the secondary. They'll tell you what the primary voltage is, they'll tell you what the primary coils are, they'll tell you what the secondary coils are, they'll ask you to work out what the secondary voltage is. You'll get given three of the terms in that four-term equation, and you'll be expected to rearrange the equation in order to be able to get the fourth term. You might get something about power if you put in, I don't know, 230 volts and 1 amp on your input. Then that's obviously a power of 230 watts because power is current times voltage. You get given that equation if they want you to work that out. And then on the output, well, you know, if I've got a 10 times step down, I'm only going to have 23 volts on my output. But assuming that my transformer was 100% efficient, I should still get 230 watts. And that means that I must be getting 10 amps on my output. So a much smaller voltage, but a much higher current. Now, of course, transformers never are 100% efficient. The transformer itself heats up. So there'll be a bit of a loss. You'll perhaps get 230 watts on the input and only 200 watts on the output. There's always a bit of an inefficiency in there. So you might get questions about that, but you're more likely to get the very straightforward question where you work out PD in, PD out is equal to coils in divided by coils out. Sorry, PD in divided by PD out is equal to coils in divided by coils out. Primary divided by secondary. Or you can turn it over. Doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. You can have PD on the secondary divided by PD on the primary is equal to coils on the secondary divided by coils on the primary. Doesn't make any difference. It's the same equation. Okay. And that be electromagnetic. Hey, we zoomed through that, didn't we? Three different effects. Motor, generator, transformer, all related to another, all sort of different aspects of the same thing, but the exam board wants you to word how they're described very slightly differently, and I'll give you worked examples of those in class. Lovely.